Are you heading to the most magical place on Earth? Plan your next magical vacation with the Magic for Less Travel Company. The friendly staff at the Magic for Less provide prompt, reliable service that you can depend on when you're planning your trip to a Disney park. Let the experts help you out. Turn to the Magic for Less Travel Company when booking your next Disney vacation. Visit them online at themagicforless.com. That's themagicforless.com.
Ready to take a trip to the world? You found the Be Our Guest Walt Disney World Trip Planning Podcast. This is where your memories come front and center on our podcast stage.
Welcome to episode 283 of the Be Our Guest Walt Disney World Trip Planning Podcast. I'm your host, Mike Rallman from BeOurGuestPodcast.com and MagicalMouseRadio.com. And happy Thanksgiving a few days early. We hope that this week you have some time off and get to spend that with some family and friends and really think about all those things that we have to be thankful for here in the United States and all around the world. Joining me today, we have some friends from the show. You've heard them before, and great family members here in the Be Our Guest Podcast family. We have Adam and Susie from down in the heart of the South, Alabama. What's going on, guys?
Hey, Mike. We're doing great.
Hello.
All right. So I want to hear about this epic Disneyland trip you guys took not too long ago. You guys were there at the, you know, mid-October. And so let's first of all start off by talking about how you got there. So, Adam, I know that we're like kin in the fact that we don't like to fly, but you did fly out to California to Disneyland. So how'd that go?
It went pretty good. We had a smooth flight and everything, other than the fact it was cloudy and raining when we got to California, which made for an interesting landing. But it wasn't too bad. I actually enjoyed it, and also had a good flight back. So I can, you know, can't complain.
Yeah, when you look at the alternative of the drive to California from Alabama, I can see where it would have its positives. But I know that you were kind of researching airlines and the airport, and you guys landed at John Wayne, didn't you?
That's right. The landing wasn't all that bad. The takeoff was kind of interesting when we left.
Oh, that's cool. So now, a lot of folks don't think to land at John Wayne. I've heard that, you know, the folks that are in the know tend to land there because there's less traffic, less congestion, and I've heard that you can get to, you know, Disneyland and the Disneyland area almost just as quick landing there. So was that true for you guys?
Oh, it was quick. We took the super shuttle when we got there. We had reserved it, and there was two other couples in front of us. They let off first, and we still, from the time we got in the van to the time we arrived at our resort or the Howard Johnson, was less than 30 minutes probably. It was real quick.
Wow, that's nice. That's something for everybody to think about when you're heading to Disneyland. You don't necessarily have to go into the huge airport. You know, use John Wayne because it's great to have those options for secondary airports, you know, wherever you go. So you guys stayed at the Howard Johnson. So, Susie, how was that? What'd you think of that?
We liked it. You know, we're used to staying on property at Disney World, but $59 a night, we were really excited about that rate.
No kidding.
Let's go for it. It was very clean. We felt safe. It was about a less than 10-minute walk from the gates. So was not bad whatsoever. So highly recommend it.
Now, I don't know if we mentioned this, but was this both of yours first trips out to Disneyland, or had you been before?
Yes. No, yes. This is both our first trips.
Okay, cool. Because I've never been, but obviously I've heard a lot about it, researched it a ton. So what were your initial thoughts? I mean, you're big Disney World people, so you know how large it is and about staying on property and all the perks of that. So, you know, you arrive and you don't know really what to expect firsthand. You've researched it a lot. So what were those first few feelings, you know, because I'm sure you compared it to Disney World right off the bat.
Yeah, we constantly compared it to Disney World. It was just, we just initially thought, what a sweet park. It's just so small compared to the world and just kind of intimate. You can tell it's a real locals park. A lot of people from the, you know, they take pride in going to that park. There's a lot of locals that go there. But just the smallness of it, it's just everything's so compact and everything's just right there. It was neat to see that, you know, compared to Disney World can be a little overwhelming to some. So
did you feel kind of you know, maybe underwhelmed at your first glimpse of the park? Or I know you guys are huge Disney fans, so I'm sure you understand the, you know, the historical value of Disneyland, though, too.
Yeah, I think that's why we weren't underwhelmed, because I did have people who really don't get it tell me, you know, when we initially were telling people, oh, that's such a small park, what are y'all doing going there when y'all have the world to go to, you know? But for a big Disney fan like yourself, I think you initially just get that cold chill thing, and this is where Walt all started. You know, it amazes me that this little park started so much. So,
yeah, no kidding. I mean, the history that you're actually, and we'll talk about this a little later in the tour that you guys did, but you are literally walking where Walt walked and seeing the things that, you know, he designed and thought of and put into action, where, you know, Disney World, he doesn't have that firsthand touch. You know, it's stuff that he thought of, but it's not so much of a connection, I can imagine. So, Adam, what were your first thoughts kind of arriving at Disneyland?
Well, when we got there, as soon as we arrived, we got ready and went to the park. But the first thing we wanted to do was ride the Disneyland Railroad. And as soon as we walked in the park, and up there to the Main Street Railroad, the first thing we heard was, I can't remember exactly what he said, but it was Walt's voice. And that just hit me, and I'm sure Susie also, you know, really hard, hearing his voice. And you know, you look over there and you see his apartment window right above the fire department. You know, it was pretty cool.
Yeah, the light on. It was very touching.
Yeah, that's what I've always wanted to see that. You know, that's a definite tribute to Walt. And, you know, as much as I love the attractions and seeing the shows and all that good stuff, I think it's the little touches like that that have me dying to go to Disneyland more than anything else.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. Another thing that they did that Disney World didn't do is they have a lot of live entertainment all through Main Street and around Pirates and around the hub at the castle. You saw live entertainment, and sometimes they would bring out characters with the live entertainment, like by the fire department where Walt's, you know, apartment is. They had this band, and then they would start playing Cruella de Vil, and she would come out and interact with the people out there. I've never really seen that. And I mean, there wouldn't be a huge crowd around her too. It was pretty neat to see that. I've never seen that myself at Disney World. So just those little touches that, you know, can see a difference.
Yeah, you know, I've heard that too, that at Disneyland you get a chance to interact with the characters more than just kind of line up and snap a picture.
Exactly.
At Disney World, where, you know, that's how we're trained for us to go down there. You know, you get in line, you wait 20 minutes,
you
stand and get a picture, and then you leave. You know, you don't get to ever really interact unless it's a, you know, maybe at a character meal or some special occasion. But I've heard that from everybody that goes out there, that there's such a drastic take on the characters from place to place that it's really shocking from somebody that goes from Disney World to Disneyland.
Mm-hmm. It really is.
So let's talk about the attractions here for a little bit, because I've always heard, and of course no firsthand experience, that most of the attractions that have, you know, a twin down at Walt Disney World, they tend to have the better of the two attractions at Disneyland. Did you guys find that true?
For the most part, yeah.
So what were some of the attractions, though, that you thought were definitely better at Disneyland?
Pirates.
Space Mountain,
yes.
Pirates.
Yeah.
Even the Fantasyland rides, even the little small things. Like, I noticed, I love Snow White, and yes, we go on that little dark ride, you know, that nobody really lines up for, but it was amazing at Disneyland. Fantasyland is just, I don't know if that probably was my favorite part of the park, was the Fantasyland. But just the little things in Peter Pan that are different as well, that Disney World could easily do. It wasn't a huge, you know, difference, but it was amazing how the two compare to each other in some of their eyes.
Well, what do you think it is that they could bring to Disney World that Disneyland has? I know that Disneyland is quaint and it's small, and of course, you know, Walt Disney World has more space, so the parks, you know, especially the Magic Kingdom, is a lot larger than Disneyland. But, you know, I hear this from person after person who's visited Disneyland, that there's just this feeling, you know, without having Walt there, obviously, but it just sounds like it's a really cool feeling, especially like you said in the Fantasyland area. But do you know what it is?
You know, I don't. Maybe we don't have that. You know what Disneyland has, which is it had Walt's fingerprints all over it. Maybe, you know, you can try to put things in Disney World, maybe, but still Disneyland. I don't know. It's just this feeling you get. You know, that maybe you can't replicate it at Disney World. Does that make any sense whatsoever? It's just, I don't know what they could do. It's just a totally different feeling.
No, that's probably really true, though, because each park needs to have its kind of own identity.
Yeah.
And, you know, maybe the identity of the Florida parks is that they have, you know, more space and they can, you know, do things on a larger scale sometimes, like, you know, with Sleeping Beauty Castle and Cinderella Castle. You know, they're definitely both cool castles, but the Florida one's a lot larger. And so, yeah, I think it's great, though, that they do have their own identities, because that gives you a reason to, you know, visit Disneyland. And then on that same kind of train of thought, go, you know, if you get the opportunity, go to Disneyland Paris or Tokyo and, you know, see their take on the parks. So that's really cool. Now let's talk about this tour you guys did. You did the walk in Walt's Footsteps tour. And I can imagine that thing, it just had to blow you away, because I know that I did the Keys to the Kingdom tour at the Magic Kingdom and I just loved it, but this would be kind of like the original and you're at the exact place Walt was. So walk us through that if you don't mind.
Yeah, it's very much like Keys to the Kingdom, but they have some audio bits of him talking and explaining what he did and why he did things. It begins with the opening clip of the opening day. You know, we've all heard it, and it all brings a tear to everybody's eye. Yes. And you see the plaque. It's written down verbatim. And, you know, you start with that. You start down Main Street, kind of like you do Keys of the Kingdom. But it's just these, you hear his voice. You hear him explain things. We went to the Tiki Room, and that's the original. It's not like the one that we have in Florida. But to hear like things like that, originally he wanted that to be a restaurant. Well, you look behind you and there's benches, like booths for restaurants, and it's all along the back of the walls, you know. It was an amazing amazing tour, one of the highlights. And you know, it ends with lunch, and then it kind of talks to you, you know, about the end, you know, what he wanted for Florida. You know, you kind of talk about Epcot a little bit, and kind of ends with him, you know, passing away and his brother having to kind of pick up the mantle where he left off. So
that's what I was curious about, if they ever brought up Florida, because, you know, it's Disneyland, and from the folks that I've talked to, that, you know, especially up in Marceline, where they've, you know, they have this huge affinity for Disneyland. And, you know, they talk about Disney World, but Disneyland is their park, because Walt lived in Marceline, and that's the park he firsthand built. And I just wonder, you know, if there's a love for Disney World, if it's kind of, you know, they talk about it, but they're not real fond of it. I mean, what did you think, you know, the cast members you met, did they seem to, you know, love Disney World, or is it just kind of there?
I don't think they were proud of Disneyland. They're very proud of Disneyland. When we mentioned that we go to Disney World all the time, well, one cast member mentioned, oh, well, that's, we call that Roy's Park.
Oh,
welcome
wow.
to Walt's Park. You know, it's like, oh, okay.
So, nice. You know,
if they really, they take pride in, this is where Walt was, you know. And but yeah, that when they go out, we had a couple of cast members. One on the train station said, "Yeah, we can go out there to Florida, but you know, we like it. It's a little bit overwhelming, but you know, we like our Disneyland." So,
you know, though, that's great to hear, because they have pride in that park, and that means that they're going to take care of it, and especially since they're really still associating it with Walt. It sounds to me like they really want to keep his legacy alive, and the best way you can do that is to keep Disneyland as Walt's Disneyland. So that makes me feel really good.
Exactly. You will not see under new management in Tiki Room ever.
That's good. Hey, I could take that at Disney World any day, because I'm sick of that anyway. So,
oh,
so Adam, what were your thoughts on the tour? What kind of stood out for you?
Like she said, the Tiki Room, that was probably my favorite, because we first went in there with, you know, some other, it wasn't just us, as, you know, you know, just other guests, you know, and they put on a normal show, and then afterwards we stayed behind, they turned on the lights, and they had a cast member come out and talk to us about the Tiki Room, and you know, that's when we found out about the you know, Walt wanted to be a restaurant and all, and so that was probably one of my highlights. Also,
they brought out an original puppet, one of the flowers, too.
Yeah, brought out one of the flowers and showed how it worked, which was pretty neat, and let us operate, you know, see how it works and stuff. Also, on the tour, we did the, Haunted Mansion?
Not on the tour.
Not on the tour. Oh, I'm sorry.
That was your own tour.
We did the, yeah. We
did Jungle Cruise.
Yeah, did Jungle Cruise. And that was a pretty good one, too. The Jungle Cruise there is a little bit shorter than ours. Mm-hmm. But there's some differences in it. One thing is, and Ricky would probably like this, they had piranha in theirs.
Oh, nice.
And that was pretty neat. But we had a good cast member that took us around the Jungle Cruise and stuff. But had a real good tour guide. Right.
The only thing that was different that I thought would have been better is we did go along with other guests. There was no, you know, well, this water right here is deep. You know, kind of like you get a behind-the-scenes tour of Jungle Cruise. You don't get it with this one. You pretty much just get on a boat with everybody else, and they go through the same spiel they would. So there wasn't a lot of, you know, well, you see this right here, this does, you know, and, you know, kind of like they did the other one, so...
Yeah, it's really cool to have that kind of exclusive ride when you don't have to go with, you know, the normal spiel. You can just kind of hear, like you said, you know, this is what this was meant to be, and this is, you know, this is how this works and all that good stuff. So it sounds like a tour that I'm definitely, when I get myself out there, and I know, Susie, you're campaigning for us to all go out in 2012.
It's definitely on. Yes. It's a campaign.
That's full on 2012. I agree with that. I think that's awesome. So we're gonna have to figure something out here because I got to get out there. But yeah, I'm definitely going to be signing up for this tour right off the bat because I think that, you know, for anybody that has this love of Disney, like anybody that's tuned into the show today here, that you need to go on this because this is going to show you the side to Disneyland that you need to see. I mean, because you've probably read about it, but you're going to get the firsthand, like you said. I mean, how cool is it to see, you know, one of the birds or the flowers from the original Tiki Room? I mean, that's Disney history right there in your hands.
Absolutely.
Well, let's talk about a couple other things. And you mentioned that the tour ended in a restaurant. So where did that end and how was your meal?
It was at the Plaza Inn, kind of sandwiches. And the guide would come around and he had a folder, a binder, and it, I guess it was Time Magazine, and when they first opened and had some pictures of when they first opened, and he came around and if he had any questions, you know, and he was very personable. He was really great, and we sat with a couple who were from, where were they from, California? They were on their honeymoon.
Yeah, well, they had just moved to Las Vegas.
Yeah, and we sat with them, and we kind of talked about our differences. The girl had been to Disney World a couple of times, and he had never been out. He was a big Disneyland enthusiast, and he was just itching to get out there to see what the difference is. And then our tour guide would come around, and he's been out to Disney World too. So we kind of talked about the differences, and he did mention some neat facts about the Haunted Mansion. There has a he told us about this crack to look for when you're going through their ballroom scene. They have someone evidently shot a BB in the ride and cracked the, is it plexiglass? Was it glass at the time? Yeah. Glass at the time, and they cracked it, and so they kind of made it into a spider web. You know, so you think there's a spider. So that was kind of neat for him to share with us. So
we went back on the ride, sure enough.
We were all looking for it. Like, yep, he is so right. There it is, so.
But I wonder, though, you know, because you guys met up with folks who have this love of Disney World, too, and they're at Disneyland. I bet you that happens more often than you would think, because I think that, and I don't know, because I'm in the Midwest, you know, it's closer to get to Disney World for me, yet it's still over 1,000 miles. But I wonder, you know, how many people that happens to at Disneyland. That obviously, you're a Disney fan if you're going to Disneyland. But I wonder how many people find that, you know, hey, I'm a huge fan of Disney World, but I'm out here at Disneyland, or kind of vice versa. I bet that happens a lot.
I bet it does. Because look how many of us are, you know, the big Disney nut, and that we don't live that close. You know, everybody who's a huge fan, that's their goal, is to get out there. They have to get out there.
Well, we met one guy. His name's Colin.
He's on Twitter.
He's on Twitter. He's Paradise Pier on Twitter. And we met him our second or third day there or something like that. And he lives in the San Diego area. And, of course, he has an annual pass to Disneyland, but he also comes to Disney World all the time, too. You know, he's one of those enthusiasts that he also comes out to the world. So,
oh, he was awesome to meet. He sat down with us. We were...
Gave us real good pointers. And I think we met him on Sunday.
Yeah, our first full day there, and it was a madhouse there. But he was nice enough, saw Adam on Twitter and said, hey, I'm right behind you here. You know, I'd love to say hello. And met up with us and showed us the place where we could have a seat and kind of chat. And we talked, and he was actually at Epic October as well. He was down there with all that craziness. And he said he was he tried to get to the treehouse meet, but it was too much going on. But he said he was a fan of the show. So,
you know, actually, anyway. we got to meet over at the Touring Plans meet over in Mexico.
Oh, did you? Oh, cool.
Yeah, so that was really, yeah, he's an awesome guy. So that's great that you guys got to spend time. And I think that's a key, though, with going to somewhere, you know, someplace like Disneyland, is having a local that has a lot of experience. I think that for a first timer, especially, and it's the same way at Walt Disney World, that if somebody can show you, hey, this is the easier way to go about this, you know, whatever you're trying to get done, I think that's a huge thing. So it probably helped you out a lot.
Absolutely.
Yeah, it was a real treat to get to meet him. And Holly as well.
Diz Quiz.
Oh, yes. Our favorite cast member out at Disneyland. And now she's apparently doing tours, too. So we're
I know. I was awesome. So excited for her. I saw that on Twitter.
Yes. We love it when we have cast members tuned in. That just makes my day every time I hear about a cast member. So, good for Holly. So, now let me ask you about, you guys did the Halloween party. So, you were obviously, you went to the Walt Disney World Halloween party, the Not So Scary. So, how do the two compare?
Okay. You come off the high of, you know, that party at Disney World is phenomenal. I mean, you can't get Boo to You out of your head. That parade, there's nothing like that parade ever. So it was going to be very interesting to see how their party was going to compare. And it went off Tuesday. We went Tuesday night, so it wasn't going to be as busy.
Yeah, Tuesday.
So that was actually the day that it rained the most. So it was kind of a wet night for us, but... It was similar but different. They had candy stations, only like what was about 5 candy stations, but they had like several lanes of candy. So you got really good candy.
Yeah,
it was like none of this cheap stuff.
If you like chocolate, they gave.
Oh my gosh, it was Twix and Snickers and Milky Ways. And
it was the good stuff.
Oh, it was awesome. Nice. It was no Jolly Ranchers. Not that there's anything against Jolly Ranchers, but none of that hard candy stuff. It was all just premium candy.
Now, did you see as many people like dressed up like you do at Disney World? I mean, it seemed like, and this was my first party too when we were down there in October at Disney World. That, you know, I loved getting dressed up in it. I loved, like, I think the highlight of the evening was seeing everybody else in their costumes, you know, along with like the Boo to You parade and stuff. But do they do that as much being locals, or what'd you see?
I don't think there was as many people dressed up. It's a Tuesday night, see some, but I don't think as much came out as the night that we were there for, you know, the Disney World one, but still a lot of great costumes. We did, you know, of course, the Woody and Buzzes were out there, and the Potato Heads were all there, but not as many. They had some characters the old hag. You don't see her a whole lot, so they had some unique characters for meet and greets there, so
well,
that was
cool.
Pretty neat to see.
Well, so it sounds like each party's unique, just kind of like the parks, so yeah, I'm going to have to figure
out
when we get
out there. Yeah, a little smaller scale. The fireworks. I love the fireworks. I may give the edge to Disneyland because it's basically, it is Hallowishes, but you have Zero, the ghost dog from Nightmare Before Christmas. He floats above the castle, which was amazing to see. That made my night there, seeing that. So the Hallowishes it wasn't called Hallowishes there.
It was a Halloween Screams.
Yeah, that was pretty neat. They did have 8 they call it a cavalcade. They didn't call it a parade. It was kind of, it wasn't anything like Boo to You, but, you know, they tried. So I don't think they have the float, you know, that you know, they did. But it was a neat party. So
that's good to hear, because I definitely want to get in as many experiences as I can when I get out there. So maybe we'll go around the Halloween season. You know, who knows? Depends if I can get off school. But definitely, now you have me itching to go to Disneyland. So.
Oh, and Ghost Galaxy, that Space Mountain overlay.
Yes.
I would like to see Space Mountain without the Ghost Galaxy overlay, just because it truly, everybody says it is a different ride out there. But they kind of give it a little spooky flair. Just watching it. I took a little video of the outside of it kind of changes, and there's this eerie music outside, and it looks like something's going on in there, and that was pretty neat to see. So
yeah, the Space Mountain's the one thing I really want to check out, because it's my favorite ride at Disney World, and almost every person I talk to says that it's better, way better at Disneyland anyhow. So
we both sat and said, you know, what was worth the flight out here? For me, it was Space Mountain. World of Color was worth the plane ride out there for me. So,
and that was going to be my next question, because the one thing that really kind of amped up my wanting to go to Disneyland was I've seen people stream World of Color. And to me, I've heard people say that, you know, it's not an original score. It's kind of a combination of a bunch of Disney songs all just mashed together with some video clips. But I'm telling you, I haven't seen it firsthand. I've seen it like through people putting it on Ustream from their cell phones, and it has me fired up to go out there, because I have to see this. So I guess you were blown away by it.
Yeah, the video doesn't do it justice.
It is a bunch of different, but to me that makes it even better. To me, you can't go wrong with an original with a Disney movie scores. To me, I mean, what could be better than that? But we saw it two times on the trip. We could have seen it every single night. It was phenomenal. It was we had a dinner package one night where we sat in the white section, which was good. I'm glad we did that. Then the next time we sat in the blue section, and we sat like right at the railing where you get wet. I had a poncho, so I put that on, and you will get wet, but I think it's worth a little mist, because it was phenomenal from that standpoint. I mean, it's a gorgeous show.
Now, was this still one of those times where it was a madhouse to get to see it? Where, you know, yes. I know that at first it was absolutely insane to even get near it to see it, but had it died down or anything by then?
Not our perspective. It was still just herds of people trying to get in. And, you know, you don't really line up. You just kind of gather, and then they kind of start letting you in, and you kind of run to your spot. If you get the fast pass, which you've got to get a fast pass, because that's just the way to go. So you kind of run to your different spot that they tell you to go to, and you can pick out your spot. There's no seats. You just stand. But it's worth the, to me, it's worth getting in that crowd for.
Yeah, I mean, like I said, I've seen the Ustreams of it, and I mean, it has me fired up. And I know, it just like Adam said, it can't even compare to what the real thing is, I'm sure. But it's just, I think you said it right, Susie, that Disney does such a great job scoring their movies that I think we all have an affinity to those songs. You know, they picked out a really good one, I think, from Enchanted, like that So Close song, and they have the Lion King music, and then the Toy Story part. I think that what Disney does so well in their shows, like Fantasmic and even like Illuminations and Wishes and all that, is that they really do, you know, tug at your emotions. And, you know, as a guy watching here on my computer in St. Louis while somebody Ustreams it, I was caught up in the emotion of the show, you know, like third hand. So I can imagine that there's probably a lot of tears and a lot of oohs and ahs in the crowd.
I know I cried. Like a lot. So. Adam would admit to it, but anyway.
Very cool. Yeah, we're not going to ask him to do that. You know, it's almost
he's being quiet. You know?
All right, well, we're going to wrap this show up. So any other things that you want to throw out there to anybody who's planning a trip to Disneyland, especially folks who are Disney World nuts and are comfortable with, you know, traveling down to Walt Disney World, but they're heading out to Disneyland for the first time. Any advice?
Take it slow. It's a small park. At first, you don't think you're going to be able to see everything, but you will. I think we took 5 days, and I think that's ample time. You might can even take four, maybe three. It's a lot to take in, especially, in New Orleans Square. That place was phenomenal. We don't have that, of course, at Disney World, but just taking that all in, just little nooks and crannies of this park, that Disney World doesn't have. Actually, we need to mention, as part of the Walt's Footsteps tour, he took us around New Orleans Square, our guide did, and he saw an amp kind of standing off in the corner, and he's like, oh, Ernie must be here today. And everybody's like, what's going on? And it's not too far from Club 33, which we actually got a peek of that, too. I forgot to mention that. But he's like, Walt Disney went to, when he was thinking up New Orleans Square, he fell in love with New Orleans. And he said, well, I need to have authentic music, authentic cast members here in my New Orleans Square in California. So he handpicked three guys. And he said, I'm opening up this park. Will you come and play for us? And they did. They dropped everything and followed him to California. There is one member still alive, and his name is Ernie, and he plays to this day. So you get to see a cast member that was handpicked by Walt himself. And he wasn't there when we took our tour, and then we went into Club 33, and he's actually got a portrait of him and his other guys that he used to play with in the staircase up there. I think we've had the picture on the boards of it. And then later on that day, we went back through New Orleans Square, and he was sitting there playing. So it's like, that was amazing. He's a little elderly gentleman just playing guitar, and it sounded so good, and just like, oh my gosh, there he is. So it was really neat.
I think that right there sums up probably the difference between Disney World and Disneyland. Just, it's the little things like that that I think are hard to put into words, because I think it's more of a feeling, and just there's so many little things. You can't really identify, okay, it's this thing for sure. But like you said, I mean, you're sitting there watching somebody play that was handpicked by Walt himself. I mean, that right there is priceless.
It was. I mean, another reason why it was a good plane and reason to get in the plane and go over there. So.
Oh, that's cool. So, Adam, any final thoughts from the trip?
Yeah, I think Susie summed it up pretty good. But I would like to say, going back to the flight, that I'll go ahead and announce it here. I actually like the flight.
Very good.
And I can't wait to fly again.
All right.
It can work for you, Mike.
Now, now we're flying in December to Orlando again, but... we could have a bad experience. It could change, all over again. But, our flights so far have been good. And, I'm looking forward to the next one. But we had a great time and everything.
Can't wait to go back.
Can't wait to go back. And I would suggest, if you go out there, to fly into John Wayne if you can. Like I said, it's real short, probably a 30-minute drive or less. Whereas from LAX, it'd probably be about an hour or so. So, and a lot, John Wayne's a lot less crowded than LAX. So.
Who would have thought you'd be given airport advice, Adam? This is great. This is why I love
it's
the show.
It's amazing.
I love it.
It's a transformation.
That's exactly right. Well, I appreciate you guys taking the time to share your story from Disneyland. I know that there was so much more that we couldn't get into the show today, but come on over to the forums at brguestpodcast.com. You guys have your trip report up there in the trip report subsection, and it just sounds like a wonderful time, and I can't wait to get out there. And, man, I hope when I get to go out there, it's with you guys, because you guys are true friends, and I know we just have a blast. So thanks again for kicking the week off with us here on the show, and thanks for sharing those memories.
Oh, it's our pleasure. 2012.
That's right, and happy Thanksgiving to you guys.
You too. You too. Thank you.
Thank you so much. And don't forget that today's show was brought to you by the great agents over at the Magic for Less Travels. So the next time you're headed to maybe Disneyland, or down to, your comfortable place, which is Walt Disney World, or maybe sailing the seas on the Disney Cruise Line, work with one of those great agents over at the Magic for Less, and they're going to help you with all the planning that you need to get done to ensure a great and magical Disney vacation. Check out our friends over at www.themagicforless.com. Don't forget that we have our great radio station playing music, Disney music, that is, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. It's magicalmouseradio.com. And on Thursday, on Thanksgiving Day, we're going to kick off that Christmas music. We're going to play all that holiday stuff from down at Walt Disney World. So make sure that you join us. It's going to be a great time starting on Thanksgiving Day with stuff like a candlelight processional and Osborne lights and holiday wishes and all that good stuff that you've been missing. So check it out on Thanksgiving Day, starting then, over at MagicalMouseRadio.com. We wish you and yours a very happy Thanksgiving. We truly are thankful for the opportunity to get to talk Disney with you every Monday and Friday. You've been friends over the years, and we're thankful to have each and every one of you as a part of the Be Our Guest family. So we hope that you have the best ever Thanksgiving this year. So for Adam and Susie, I'm Mike. We hope that you have a great week. Work hard and enjoy that turkey on Thursday, and we'll see you real soon.
You've been listening to the Be Our Guest Walt Disney World Trip Planning Podcast. If you have questions, comments, or would like to be a guest on the show, please visit our website at BeOurGuestPodcast.com. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you real soon.
You stayed at the Holiday Inn, or sorry, I screwed that up. Let me
the Howard Johnson. Yes,
the Howard Johnson, another one with an H.
Yeah. Yeah, start with an H.
Let's try this again.